Welcome to Lynn's Creek Missionary Baptist Church Sunday School Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew Neely. Our Sunday School material is from Baptist Training Course, Training for Service, from Bogard Press. June 30th, 2019, Lesson 5, Staying Right at Home. Our text today is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Our key verse is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, 1 Peter 3:8. Our application is that the student will learn how to apply the Bible standards to his home life.
A first look.
Our society has witnessed an almost total upheaval in recent years. Today we are facing a gathering storm of disaster that has already hit almost every home. Statisticians tell us that one half of all marriages made in any recent year will end in divorce within 18 months. Just look around. You'll be hard-pressed to find a family, even in a church, that has not been touched by divorce. Pastor's note, that stat is not entirely accurate. While half of all marriages end in divorce, the average duration of a marriage ending in divorce is 7 years, and the statistic for families inside of the church is much lower, somewhere between 33% in Pastor's note. It should be obvious to anyone who will honestly examine the situation that something is terribly wrong in the homes today. Pastor's note. If you want to destroy a building, you take out its foundations. Take out its foundation and it'll crumble to the ground. The foundation of our society is the family, and the foundation of the family is marriage. Marriage is under assault today. While the statistics for Christian families who go to church every week is much lower than the average, divorce is still endemic. Every church has been touched. Every family has been touched. Divorce destroys families and hurts kids. This makes Satan happy. Divorce makes people poorer and sadder and more alone than ever before. This also makes Satan happy. The attack on marriages doesn't end with divorce. Oh no, Satan likes to have multiple irons in the fire. Today, fewer and fewer people are getting married. At all. Instead, they hook up where casual relationships and flagrant fornication replace the intimacy, safety, and trust of marriage. Marriage is disparaged. It's looked as obsolete, oppressive, and a part of the patriarchy, and completely unnecessary today. And that also makes the devil happy. The attack on marriage doesn't end. The devil's a truly evil and busy being. Marriage is being redefined. First, procreation is removed by medical intervention. Then the very institution is redefined. Instead of a man and a woman, we can have a man or a woman, and soon, mark my words, we'll also have multiple marriages. It's just about self and love. It's not about children and life. It's about meeting our needs instead of building the next generation. Marriage today is a farce of what it used to be. On top of this, the children are under attack. The school teaches them that they are rearranged pawn scum. They're nothing more than meaningless accidents. Then they are bombarded by satanic messages and the music they listen to and the TV shows they watch and the movies they watch. Everywhere they turn, sin is celebrated and God is mocked. But that's only for those who survive birth, because we murder millions of babies every single year in abortion. Our only hope is to base our families, our lives, and our nation around Christ. And Pastor's note. This troubling situation is not new. For centuries, Satan has attacked the home, and as we grow nearer to the coming of the Lord, it seems he's gaining ground. A broken home is a fertile breeding ground for all kinds of sinful activities. Obviously, adultery comes to mind, but all manner of sinful behavior is born from the selfishness and lack of love that characterizes most divorces. While there is no guarantee that Christians will have happy homes just because both parties are saved, there's even less of a basis for harmony when one mate is not a Christian. Pastor's note, from personal experience, I can tell you this is true. I was 14 years old when my mom got married to an unsaved man. I wouldn't wish the strife and the difficulty and the feeling of isolation on anyone. This is what happens when one is unequally yoked. A marriage to an unsaved person will result in the Christian being further from God and living a life of strife and turmoil. You have to have strife and turmoil because neither party agrees on the basic facts of life. To the Christian, right and wrong are not a matter of opinion. They're a matter of fact written in the Scripture. To a Christian, our opinions do not matter as much as what God said in the Word matters. But to an unsaved person, right and wrong is just a matter of preference. You like vanilla ice cream, I like chocolate, it doesn't matter. That's about the same level of morality. In Pastor's note. In these verses, we are given wise instructions about the right behavior in our homes. Peter dealt with the difficulty, but often present situation where one mate is saved and the other is lost. He gave us instructions for wives, for husbands, and then for everyone. As all of us live in a home of some kind and we all want to find happiness there, remember these teachings are not suggestions to be considered and implemented if we find them acceptable or necessary. This is the Word of God, given to guide us in governing our lives and bringing honor and glory to our Lord.
A closer look.
1. The power of faithful wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversion of the wives. Wherefore they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it be not that outward adorning of plaited hair and a wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah had obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, and ye are not afraid of any amazement. One great cause of trouble in homes today is that so many people take their paradigms for success from popular culture instead of the Word of God. Pastor's note. The word paradigm means worldview, the way we see the world. The way a man sees the world defines the man to the world and the world to the man. It's answering the big questions like, who are we? Why are we here? What is our purpose? And what is the end result of life? And the way you see the world defines how you interact with it. Unfortunately, many Christians today do not have a Christian worldview. They have a secular worldview that is informed, that was given to them by popular media and music and all that stuff, but it's not a Christian worldview. In Pastor's note. Far too many people are attempting to live out the things they see others do in popular media, including television and movies. Imagine that some things have no influence on them, but in truth, they influence us all greatly. Large corporations spend millions of dollars on advertising because it works. Peter admonished wives to consider two great examples. The first is Jesus. The term likewise used in verse 1 and in verse 7 refers to the example of Jesus given in chapter 2. Jesus was not a second-class citizen because he lived in submission to his heavenly Father. A wife is not a second-class citizen because she lives in submission to her own husband. Pastor's note. The verse says her own husband. Women are not to be subjected to all men just because they're women. Women should be subjected to their own husband, and their husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In this arrangement, both the husband and the wife are giving of themselves and focused on the other more than themselves, because sin is selfishness. God's arrangement of marriage is selfishless. It's each seeking to meet the needs and the wants of the other more than himself. And if we were to live God's way, there'd be a whole lot more harmony in the home. In pastor's note. The thought used here is about military rank. A general is not a better man than a private, but they have different ranks and responsibilities. It may not be politically correct to say so in today's world, but men and women are different. Children are not miniature adults, and they should not be treated as if they were. To have a happy home, each person in the home must take to his proper place in God's scheme of things, and this is what Peter was teaching here. Pastor's note, it is a rebellion against God and God's order for us to try to reorder the marriage, to try to reorder the family. Today, let's just say less intelligent individuals who are members of a political party will parade children around and say, we need to be led by children. No, you morons, you do not need to be led by the children. Children are not more intelligent or pure than anyone else. Children are immature and they don't understand nuances of things. The reasons why the children will lead you is because the children don't know well enough the dangers of what it's approaching. That's why they have young children to do dangerous things in other parts of the world, because they don't realize the danger that they're in. The fact of the matter is, when we upend God's order for the family and for society, we endanger ourselves and our society. It tears things apart. God set things, he's designed us a certain way. He set things up a certain way. And when we go outside of God's plan and God's purpose, we suffer the consequences. There's a reason why there's so many divorces. There's so many children that are living lives of quiet despair and cutting themselves and being miserable. All these things are the result of people saying, no, 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 God's ways is not the right ways. Back in the Garden of Eden, same thing happened. Eve said, I want to eat the fruit, and I don't care what God said. I want my way, not God's way. Cain decided he was going to bring some vegetables instead of a lamb because he wanted to do things his way and not God's way. Every time we do things our way and not God's way, it leads to misery, suffering, and pain. We should be wise enough to realize that we ought to just follow the owner's manual. And pastor's note. This particular teaching was directed to a believing woman who had an unbelieving husband. Often we hear the false idea that suggests that the truth of the Bible only applies to those who believe in it. This is completely false. The thought here is that the chaste and respectful life of a believing wife can be a powerful and influential witness to a pagan husband. The most powerful and convincing testimony we can give is to show the world that a change has taken place in us because of our faith in Jesus. A woman who demonstrated that change to her unbelieving husband had a very good opportunity to win him to the Lord. Pastor's note, don't assume that just because in this situation a woman may lead her husband to the Lord, that it gives us a blanket permission to marry outside of the faith. Our wives and our husbands see us the way we really are, with our morning breath and bad hair and at our worst and at our best. They see all of us. And here's the point. When you get married and you are unsaved and then you come to Christ, our spouse will see the difference. They will know the difference. They will see what godly influence has done in your life, and it will make an impression on them. However, if you get married, they see you at your worst. They didn't see you before you got saved. They have nothing to compare it with, and because of that, that influence is less than what it ought to be. It's my experience that when one member of the couple is unsaved and then gets saved, the other one typically follows. If one of the couple is saved before they get married, the other one seldom becomes a Christian, in pastor's note. We all want to appear to others in the best way we possibly can, and Peter admonished women to adorn themselves. However, this should not be done only on the outside. Instead, particular attention should be given to inner beauty. Every society has its own ideas about what constitutes physical beauty, but everyone agrees that no matter what we look like on the outside, a meek and quiet spirit is attractive. We do not have much control over our physical appearance, and no matter what we do, we'll eventually be ugly. Imagine a corpse that was buried for a few years to get this picture. A meek and quiet spirit will live on in the minds of our friends and our family long after physical beauty has perished. For models of behavior, Peter turned to the godly women of the Old Testament. These women trusted in God and took their proper place in their home. Sarah, Abraham's wife, is specifically mentioned. Evidently, Sarah was an exceptionally beautiful woman. The woman Peter addressed could achieve the same beauty if they took their proper place in homes and dedicated themselves to the service of the Lord. One important note that must be added here. God has not designed a heartless plan to make our lives miserable. God knows who and what we are, and He knows the desires of our heart. His plan will give us what we truly need and want from life. Remember that God loves you and that He is seeking the very best for you. The very best thing a wife can do for herself, for her husband, and for her family is to live in harmony with the specific instructions of the Bible. Pastor's note. People will rebel against God to seek happiness and pleasure, only to find out that there is no happiness and there is no pleasure in running from themselves. For a short time, yes, but eventually the long-term ramifications of that, it's like eating cookies constantly. That's really good while you're eating the cookies, but not when you weigh 700 pounds. The fact of the matter is that when we live for Christ, we do things God's way, we typically live happier lives with less misery and heartache. Sometimes when you're in the middle of a good situation, sometimes when things are going well and there's a little mild conflict and you have some mild problems, you may think, oh, woe is me, this is a horrible situation, because you've not experienced anything worse. If you understand what I'm saying, it's a matter of comparison. You don't know what your life would have been had you not been serving God. You don't know how bad it would have been otherwise. Every now and again, if you're starting to feel bad about your life and you're serving the Lord, just take a look at the lives around you of the people who are not. The people living in misery and despair and heartache, the families that are ripped apart by drugs, and the families ripped apart by divorce, and the families who have hatred every day, and the shootings and the murders and all the stuff that's going on, and remind yourself that your life is not that bad. Satan's big trick is to take Adam and Eve in the garden and living in a perfect environment and whisper in their ear, you know, God is really mean. He's just holding out the fun from you. You could have had so much fun. 1 week outside of the garden, Adam and Eve would realize how wonderful they had it inside of the garden. And pastor's note. 2, the knowledge of a loving husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The key thought for wives is subjection, meaning to be placed according to rank. The key thought for husbands is consideration. A husband should never take his wife and his family for granted, as if their only reason for existence was his pleasure. No man who truly loves his wife can be happy if his wife is not happy. A wise husband who has no interest in frustrating his wife. As Solomon said in Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. A wise husband will be considerate towards his wife in physical matters. He will dwell with her. There is no substitute for physical presence in the home. Often the demands of life may separate marital partners, but a husband should spend as much time as possible with his wife. We often hear the phrase quality time. The phrase has no meaningful definition. All time is precious and fleeting, and we need to spend as much of it as we can with the ones that we love. One recent survey suggested that husbands and wives often spend less than 1 hour a week talking with each other. Homes could become little more than a common address for strangers. A husband should see to it that he spends time physically present with his wife. Then a husband should respond intellectually to his wife. He should dwell with her according to knowledge. A husband has a responsibility to know what's going on in his own home. He should not burden his wife with all the decision-making in any area. He should be involved in both the small and great matters that pertain to the home. He should know his wife, understand what she is going through, and also know his children. Just because people live under the same roof doesn't mean they are not strangers to one another. Communication is the key, and communication is not only about talking. We must listen to each other. A husband also has an emotional duty to his wife. He is to treat her with honor. Note that this says that if she were the weaker vessel. A wife may or may not be physically weaker than her husband. Pastor's note. The wife is 99.9% of the time weaker physically than her husband, barring physical maladies. The strongest woman in the world today is weaker than the average man in the world today. There is a physical difference between men and women. The term weaker vessel here doesn't just mean physically weaker. It's not just talking about who can open up the jar of pickles, but it's also talking about the way that men and women are designed. A pillow is weaker than a stone. A pillow has a different use than a stone. God created women to be nurturing. In order for women to be able to nurture, they have to have a certain softness about them. They have to have a certain amount of vulnerabilities, and women are designed differently than men. They are the weaker vessel in the way that they are constituted, and they're constituted the way that they are because God has designed them to be the ones who care, the ones who nurture, the ones who love more. I mean, fathers love their children. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, but father's love and a mother's love, it's different. God's design for men and women are complementary. Women are the weaker vessel because they have to be the weaker vessel in order to do the nurturing. But that means that our job as men is to be the stronger vessel and to protect the weaker vessel. Our job is to stand in the gap and protect them and to love them. End pastor's note. A wife may or may not be physically weaker than her husband, but he is to treat her as if she were. This means being thoughtful and courteous and always acting like a gentleman. Men often do this when they're dating, but forget all about that behavior in the few years into their marriage. A husband should respect the feelings and desires of his wife. He may not agree with them, but he should treat her fairly and do his best to understand her point of view. A husband who is sensitive to his wife's feelings will gain her love and respect, and he will grow as he learns to see things from another perspective. Finally, a husband should shoulder his responsibility as the spiritual head of the household. His prayer life should be an example to the family. We know that we can pray in secret and that our Father in heaven will reward us openly, but we also can pray in the presence of others. A family should see the great and good example of a father who will call the family to prayer. There is no matter that cannot be taken to the Lord, and wives and children learn a valuable lesson when they see their husband and their father personally turn to the Lord in prayer. These are not impossible goals for superhuman people. This is the ordinary life God expects husbands and wives to live every day. When we behave this way, we take a giant step towards maintaining a happy and spiritual, fruitful home. 3. The blessings of loving brethren. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This is the proper balance in our homes and everywhere else. These are instructions for husbands, wives, and children. They also apply to servants and masters and to anyone in any situation we can imagine. Peter encouraged unity. This doesn't mean unity of force. Rather, it's a unity of submission where everyone is seeking the welfare of others. Then we are taught to love the brethren. Love will take care of a multitude of troubles. We can put up with a lot simply because we love someone. Love will lead us to courtesy. There's no replacement for civility in any relationship. When we truly love and respect each other, there will be no need to try to get even with anyone, especially the members of our own family. When we pay evil with evil, we yet an escalating merry-go-round where no one will ever win. Railing or loud arguments shouted at each other can do permanent damage to any heart. We should understand this and avoid such conduct. Instead, we should seek a blessing to everyone that we meet. Imagine how life would change if everyone in our home woke up every morning thinking, "How can I be a blessing to my family today?" We will eventually inherit a great blessing, and if we are wise, we will begin to be a blessing to each other right now.
A final word.
Some choose to think of God as a tyrant who's made up arcane and arbitrary rules to govern our lives and to make us unhappy. Nothing can be further from the truth. God is love, and He is our loving and caring Father in heaven. Everything God asks anyone to do is for His own benefit. A lost man needs to be saved. Christians rejoice when lost people come to Jesus. But the lost person who is saved gets more out of the experience than anyone else. A New Testament church is the very best place to serve the Lord while we grow in grace and knowledge. This is a blessing and not a punishment. Living in the center of God's will in our own lives, is the best possible way to live. This does not mean we won't have trouble in our lives. The fact is, all who live for Jesus will suffer. But it does mean that the shortest and best route from wherever you are to happiness in heaven is to find and do the will of God to the best of your ability. God wants wives to be happy. God wants husbands to be happy. The way to be happy, to love life, and to see good days is to find God's will and then to yield our will to His. When we do, the Holy Spirit will help us. God's Word will instruct us, and we will find God open and ready to bless us in everything we do. Pastor's note, I just want to point out this. God's purpose for marriage is not necessarily for your happiness, but for your holiness. God may be using the relationship that you're in not to make you happy and giddy every single day, but to draw you closer to Himself. When you look at marriage in that regard, it's an opportunity for us to grow. And I honestly believe that God will allow us to have good days and so forth, but let's not forget that our purpose in life is not just to be happy and then die. We are here to serve the Lord. In pastor's note. Thank you for listening to Lens Creek Missionary Baptist Church's Sunday School Podcast. We invite you to join us at Lens Creek Missionary Baptist Church, located at 3087 Lens Creek Road in Hernshaw, West Virginia. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. is morning worship. Our evening worship is at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday night youth meeting and Bible study is at 7 p.m. God bless you and have a wonderful day.